安德烈沃麦克罗马书保罗的恩典巨作25集，欢迎来到安德烈沃麦克福音真理栏目，专注于神无条件的爱与恩典的教导施工。当你明白你的旧罪性和旧人已经消失了，现在的你是个全新的人，随着你更新你的思想，你就能为神结出果子来。接下来是安德烈时间，欢迎收看星期五的福音真理栏目。今天是我逐章逐节教导罗马书第五周的最后一课。我这里有本新书《罗马书：保罗的恩典巨作》，这本书非常棒，正如你所看到的，既包括了我通讲罗马书的教导，也包括了我撰写的活评论。我已经为圣经中超过26000节经文做了注释，几十年来我都在撰写它，这是一部极具价值的资料。所以这本书是一部教导的集合，包含这个罗马书系列的教导以及我的注释与参考文献等等，这的确是个好东西。我们也有本系列教导的 CD 与 DVD 以及恩典邂逅的 DVD， 我们也提供整部圣经的活评论。我们会在节目的最后给出这些信息。现在我正讲到罗马书八章一节，关于罗马书，我称之为保罗的恩典巨作。罗马书将真理一行行地构建出来。
By the Apostle Paul, and it's built just line upon line. He just scholarly goes through and explains the grace of God.
学术性地解释了神的恩典。
And so we're in chapter 8.
目前我们进入了第八章。
And it is just a continuation.
本章是保罗之前所讲内容的延续。如果你错过了前面任何一堂教导，请获取这些资料。你可以访问我们的网站，免费观看电视节目存档。我并不是为了让你去购买产品，我只是想让大家明白真理，因为这些真理彻底改变了我的生命。在昨天节目的最后，我指出 Spirit 灵这个词在罗马书第七章中只出现过一次。
The word spirit is only used one time in Romans chapter 7, and it's not talking about the Holy Spirit.
而这唯一的一次指的也不是圣灵。这个词不是手写字母大写的 spirit 圣灵，它的意思是心灵，心灵的心样。相反，在罗马书第八章 spirit 圣灵这个词出现了19次，所指的都是圣灵。其意义在于，罗马书第七章讲的是挫败感，人是无法用肉身取悦神的。
Of a person to please God in the flesh.
或是用你自己的能力，通过以自己的力量。而罗马书第八章讲的圣灵充满，受圣灵掌管，被圣灵激励的生命。这里的对比是惊人的。罗马书七章十四节到二十四节，当保罗说我不能行善，有些人认为这是使徒保罗在侍奉神几十年后，他还是在谈论他有多么肉欲，多么沮丧。
talking about how carnal he was and how frustrated he was.But right here
in Romans
chapter
7, in verse 18, he says, I know that in me, parentheses,
that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing.
He wasn't talking about the way he was living. He was talking about how it would be if he was just trying to serve God out of his flesh.
这就是罗马书第七章中没有提到圣灵的原因，
但在罗马书第八章中，一切都是得胜的。这是一种圣灵充满、圣灵掌管的生命。这真的是非常大能的启示。
所以在罗马书八章一节，他开始说到，因此。
因此这个词的意思是你要去看看前一句是因为些什么，因此将本节与前面的语句连结，是人把圣经分为章和节的，这很好，能帮助我们方便参考。但你不能把这句话与之前所说的分开， Because of the frustration that he expressed of trying to serve God in just your flesh in Romans chapter 7, he ended that chapter by saying, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is how you overcome your flesh, your own physical limitations, your mental and emotional inabilities. To do things. The way you overcome is through the Spirit. And so in chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I tell you, this is so powerful. Every one of these verses are things that I have meditated on for thousands of hours. I have literally preached the series before on Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And I just haven't got time to go through it all of it, but I'm encouraging you to please take these verses and meditate on them until you get the revelation, because this will just revolutionize your life. It has mine, and it will work for you. But when it says there is therefore now no condemnation, that word no there in the Greek is an unqualified and absolute negative. This means that there is zero, nada, condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And you know, this is a passage of Scripture that a lot of people have heard, but very few people actually live what this is talking about. Most Christians live with a sense of unworthiness, condemnation that comes from the law. I was making a little point earlier this weekend, especially over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. It calls the law a ministry of condemnation. Did you know if you are dealing with condemnation, it's because you are under the law. Now again, many people think I'm not under the Old Testament law. I don't go through these feast days. I don't go through these rituals. But you've got that law mentality that you have to do things to be pleasing to God, that God only accepts us when we have lived up to a certain standard. That is a law mentality, and it produces condemnation because our own heart condemns us. Our own heart knows that we don't do everything right. You know, I've been walking with the Lord. I've been walking with the Lord, seeking Him with my whole heart for 53 years. And did you know, I still am not the person that I'm supposed to be. I'm not the person that I was. I haven't arrived, but I've left. And so I'm not condemned about it, but I still don't do everything right. And if I was under a performance-based mentality, I guarantee you I would just live in a constant state of condemnation. Again, condemnation is a word that most people don't use a lot. But, you know, the simple way that I define it, a layman's type of definition is that when you see a building, the government will come in and condemn it and say it's unfit for use because maybe it's not structurally sound or the electricity is not good or whatever, and so they'll condemn it. And you can't use it. And so this is a little layman's definition of what condemnation is. Anytime you feel unfit for use, then you're condemned. That's what condemnation is. You know, if I was to ask you to come to one of my meetings and you'd get up and speak or something, there's a lot of people, oh, I can't do that. Why not? Because, well, I'm inadequate. I haven't fasted, I haven't prayed, I haven't prepared, I need to do this. You know what that is? That's condemnation. What I'm trying to do is to show you that this scripture says there's zero, zilch, not a condemnation in our life, and yet the average Christian lives with just a constant state of feeling unworthy, condemned, unfit for use. The scripture says over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2, I'm just going to break into the last part of that verse. It says that we should have no more conscience of sin.
We shouldn't be sin conscious.
And yet, the average Christian is sin conscious.
You will hear people say things like, "I'm an old sinner, saved by grace." You know what that is? That's condemnation. That's sin consciousness. I was an old sinner, but I got saved by grace. And I am now the righteousness of God, and I should have no more conscience of sin. I should have no more condemnation.
This doesn't mean that I'm not
aware that there's things in me that need to improve and that I need to treat my wife and treat my kids and treat other people better, and that God speaks to you. That's not saying that you aren't still striving to manifest Christ better in your life. That's not what I'm saying. But there shouldn't be any condemnation. You shouldn't be condemned about it. You know, I have a lot of people that when I minister to and I start talking about that in the flesh, we are nothing. We cannot please God in the flesh. I'm going to get to those verses here in just a few minutes, right here in Romans chapter 8. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. And when I say that, there's some people that take offense to that because they honestly think that they have grown to a place that now they are acceptable with God based on their own goodness. They are such awesome people that they take an offense when you say that you can't please God just by your own power. But I think it's a healthy place to be. Because again, I've been seeking the Lord my whole life, and yet there's still things that aren't the way that they should be, and I am not condemned about it. I recognize that it's not my flesh that makes me pleasing to God. God is a spirit, John 4:24, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, not in their own ability. I don't approach God and say, God, unworthiness. I am not worthy to approach God on my own. But if you are in Christ Jesus, there is absolutely zero condemnation. Man, that's awesome.
这真的太棒了。
I know that some of you, this is a brand new thought. Because again, religion has taught us to approach God with a condemned attitude. God, we come before you so unworthy. God, we don't deserve anything today. And this is the way I was raised. This is the way that most people in religion have been raised, with a sense of condemnation. And we ought to come boldly before the throne of grace, not trusting in our own goodness. I'm not saying that you are promoting yourself, but you aren't letting any limitations in yourself block you from entering boldly into the very presence of God. And there are very few Christians that have that kind of relationship. That's what this is talking about. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And the last half of this verse says, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. I've heard some people try and say that that's not in some of the oldest manuscripts. It should be a period right after. No condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, period. And they just take that, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit out. But down here in the fourth verse, that is in the oldest manuscripts, and it says again, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. This isn't saying that you have to perform and you have to be living and doing everything right before God doesn't condemn you. It's just saying that there is no condemnation from God to those who are in Christ Jesus. But if you live after the flesh instead of after the Spirit, if you take this freedom that God has given us, God's not going to condemn you, but people will condemn you. You know, if you
were to take some of the things that I'm saying
and say,
man,
I'm not under the law. I don't think I'm going to observe the speed limit. I think I'll go 100 miles an hour in a 30-mile zone. You know what? There is condemnation. If the police catch you, they will write you a ticket or they'll throw you in jail. That is condemnation. Or you won't be able to make a curb or you will hit somebody and there will be judgment that comes against you. There are still consequences for actions. So in a sense, there still is condemnation, but it's not coming from God. From God, there is zero condemnation. Did you know He has forgiven you of all sins, past, present, and even future sins? That's a separate teaching. I've got a teaching on this in my series entitled Spirit, Soul, and Body. But Rome,
但安息布来书第十章, 圣经五次在不同的地方说，为许多的罪献了一个永远的祭。
One sacrifice has been offered for sins forever. God forgave you of all sins. Once you get born again, even the sins you haven't committed have already been paid for. And so God is not going to condemn you.And some people have taken statements like that. I'm actually quoting the writer of the book of Hebrews, but they've taken what I say and people have gone out and said, so it doesn't matter what I do. I can go rob a bank. I can do anything because I'm forgiven. Well, it's true. If you were truly born again, first of all, if you're truly born again, I doubt that you would do stuff like that because your heart gets changed and you want to live for God. But if a person who is born again was to take the grace of God and just go out and live in sin and say, for instance, rob a bank, God would not forgive you. And just go out and live in sin and say, for instance, rob a bank, well, then there's still not any condemnation from God towards you. God won't condemn you. God still loves you. He loves you because He is love, not because you are lovely. But there would be condemnation. They would catch you. They would try you. They would put you in prison. And the whole time you're in prison, God would just be loving you. There would be no condemnation from Him as you rot in your jail cell. There still is condemnation. So all this is saying to me is that there is no condemnation from God against you, but there are still consequences in the natural. You don't take the grace of God and go live in sin and do things. If you go live in adultery, you are, you know, the scripture talks about that you become one with the harlot if you have a relationship with her, 1 Corinthians 6:16. You are breaking the covenant with your mate. You're going to hurt them. You're going to wind up hurting yourself. You'll hurt your children. People will reject you. There's still condemnation, but God still loves you. And if somebody takes what I'm saying, they go, man, this is good news, because now I can go live in sin, and there's no condemnation. Over in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. And then verse 2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And then verse 3 says, Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. If you have truly been born again, if you have received that love of God that 1 John 3, 1 and 2 talks about, then every man who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Now, you may not be doing a very good job of it, but that is the desire of a true born-again person. Any person who would take what I'm saying about there being no condemnation from God towards you and would use that as an excuse to go live in sin, I'd say you need to get born again. Your heart was never changed. I am not saying that every Christian is living a holy life because you know have to know the truth to be set free. There's a lot of people that don't understand the truth, and they they are not living a holy life, but if you are truly born again, you desire to do it. Anybody who takes the grace I'm talking about and uses it as an excuse to go live in sin, I would doubt seriously whether your heart was ever changed. So there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Man, that's awesome. I've preached on that verse for over an hour before. What is the law of sin and death? It's the law
that when you sin, you reap death instead of blessing. That's what the Old Testament law did. The law said you do this, and you'll live, you do this, and you'll die. You could go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14, list all the blessings that will come upon you if you, you know, serve the Lord. Now, I've got to put this little asterisk on that. The New Testament believer relates to Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, based on what Jesus did. Deuteronomy So, you can read this verse this way and say, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the curses of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 through 68. It has made me free of the wages of sin is death, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. I'm free from that. Even though I've sinned, even though I haven't been perfect, I have been forgiven past, present, and future, and praise God, I am not getting what I deserve. That's good news. This is really too good to be true. This is the gospel that Paul started talking about in Romans 1:16. And I'm telling you, there's not very many Christians that are walking in the full freedom that Jesus purchased for them. Again, our religious system has just made us sin conscious. You know, there is a guy, And he just asked his wife, he says, what have you done today? It's only 8 o'clock in the morning. What have you done that's sin? And he put her on the spot. She says, well, I can't think of anything, but I know that I just constantly sin. I know that I'm constantly failing the Lord. And he used that to turn around and start talking about a sin consciousness. That even when you can't think of anything, you just live in this awareness that I'm just constantly less than I should be. That is condemnation, and Jesus set us free from that kind of thinking. I heard Kenneth Copeland one time say, 当你亲近神并祷告时，
你既来到神面前说，哦，神啊，我是如此不配啊，神啊，我没有做到这些，我知道我不配得任何祝福，与其谈论你自己多么渺小，如果你觉得相比于神，你就像大象背上的一只小虫，
与
其谈论你自己多渺小，不如来谈论神有多么好。神爱你这样的人，他是多么的伟大。这才是我们来亲近他的方式。我们当以感谢进入他的门，以赞美进入他的院。感谢他为你所做的一切，而不是放大你的失败。你需要的是放大他的良善。尽管我们失败了，他仍然爱我们。我不是说你要去忽略你犯的错，无视错误，但你不应该专注在错误上。你不应该感到定罪，你不应该有罪的意识。我所讲的这些就像母鸡的牙齿一样罕见。大多数基督徒接受了定罪，过着感到不配得的生活，他们是被定罪的。
And they're condemned. There is no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus.
The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free.
You have been set free, but that doesn't mean you're free. You have been set free, but that doesn't mean you're free. You have been set free, but that doesn't mean you're free.
You have been set free, but that doesn't mean you're
free. You have been set free, but that doesn't mean you're free.In order to be free, you have to believe what this says and begin to appropriate that. Man, that's awesome. You know, I just know in my heart that God is speaking to many, many people that are watching this program right now, and that you, it's just becoming a revelation to you. Maybe you've heard some of these things before, but God is giving you a revelation of it. And you just need to do something to shake off that condemnation that you've been living under your entire life. And I encourage you to get these materials, but also as you call in and get these materials, we've got people on our phones, and these are awesome people. They're people who love God. Most of them are Bible college graduates.
他们都是被神的话语充满的，这些人可以服侍你，他们会和你一起祷告。有些观众现在你感觉到圣灵为你打开了自由之门的一
瞥，
你开始领悟了从前没有的自由。我鼓励你拨打屏幕上的电话，向同工咨询获取资料。
Get these people to give you the materials we're talking about, but also
但同时也要让他们与你
一同祷告。They will minister to you. I
believe it'll really, really bless you. 极大的祝福到你。记得我们首次提供的关于罗马书的新书。
On Romans, it's a brand new book. First time I've ever offered it.
它会成为一个祝福的。
It'll be a blessing. We've got
CDs, DVDs,
we've got DVDs,
DVDs 以及其他人的见证故事 DVD.
With other people's testimonies on it.
有非常多丰富的资料，请听我们的播音员为你提供所有信息，并好好利用这些资料。下周请再次加入我们，一起继续学习罗马书。